Hello, Dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to the Course of Course, episode 48.
Yay.
Yay. So we haven't been on mic for a while. We've been busy doing very important things. So how was your work week?
My work week? Wow, it's been busy. We're just wrapping things up on our movie, and I have been feeling overwhelmed because I've been working weekends and late nights, so I've been really run down, and I just knew that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it would finally end, but while I was going through it, it'd be overwhelming, and I wouldn't have a lot of sleep, so I feel over-exhausted, and sometimes that makes my emotions a little more vulnerable and more sensitive to things. And one thing is there's a lot of people being let go at work. Well, they needed to slash $250 million to have profits for the shareholders. So 500 people are leaving on Monday. And one of the people that's leaving just bought a house in Oregon with her check. And it just kind of sat with me like, I have nothing. And I've worked here 20 years and I have a career, yet I have nothing. And these people are all getting these huge checks to leave the company. And I didn't know how upset I was until one of my best friends called me on my way home from work. And I found myself just getting really heated and really angry. And I realized that probably didn't feel good to him. So I did call him back later after I got home and got a shower and could transition and apologize to him. But
so
I did.
He just happened to be on the phone. He had nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah,
right?
Nothing to do with it. He just asked me how I was doing.
Well, there you go.
But I find it interesting how people can, you know, ask you a question and how you don't. I didn't know I had so much anger and resentment in me. So I think because I felt safe with him, I could be myself and I could express it and I could get it out. On the other hand, I felt like it was heavy. Like I could feel that it was heavy and sticky, and I just wanted to remind him when I called him back that that was not at him. It was my own stuff, and like thank you for being there for me to be able to express it. But it's been intense, I feel, and I think like I see the workplace as the ego, and the non-work is my more blissful spiritual side, and just seeing how that duality is constantly showing up.
Well, take a number, sister. Let's just go a little deeper into the situation you had with your friend. You were on the phone with him, and you were kind of, I don't know, just unleashing on a lot of frustration that you had. What is the root cause here? Why were you getting so upset?
Because I feel that I have $0 to retire or to do a future where all these people have pensions, 401k, plus they're being given a check to leave the company.
So from a course perspective, do you think there may be an aspect of guilt within you, like maybe you should have done something?
Yes, I felt like I probably should have left earlier, or I should have made something else happen in my career, which didn't happen.
We all know from being course students that this doesn't really exist, right? It's just, it's made up. It's a dream. So I'm trying to like explore for me when I get really upset and juiced about something, what really is the root cause? Because I can say, oh, I'm really mad because, you know, my boyfriend said this thing and how dare he, and he's not very, but the root cause really is what am I doing and how is this relating to me and my reaction? How is this happening? So I'm just curious. You were so amped up about this.
Right.
What, you know what I mean? Like what really is the Stephanie piece here, regardless of what's going on outside?
Well, I do think that I have a theme of feeling screwed by companies. I've always worked for big companies who have a small little independent company in them that do all the marketing and all the fun promotion stuff that I've worked for, which is more like the stepchild of the company, that consistently these companies have that I've worked for have been, I feel like I've been screwed over by them. So that's a theme throughout my life, which isn't true. I get that. But
so I wonder, so this, you feeling screwed over by these companies, is it because you feel like you aren't worthy or something? Like, I'm trying to figure out what's the Stephanie lesson here.
I just feel like it's in the script. Like, this is just the scenario in this lifetime. Maybe in my last lifetime, I was a winner and everything went great. And this time, I'm just the loser.
So the course would say stuff like, well, how can I look at this in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, at least for me, when I go through these things, and usually it is at work, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
To me, work really hits my buttons.
Right.
But I have had to really work hard when something occurs, what appears to be outside of me, and say, okay, how can I look at this in a different way? It takes me a while. I don't automatically go there. It feels like I have to burn off all of the stress and anxiety and anger first,
right.
emotional stuff. I have to burn it off. And then I can say, okay, how can I look at it a different way? Unfortunately for me, during that period where I'm still kind of burning it off, I think I'm sort of doing myself more damage because I get stuck in that and that's where my thoughts are and I forget about forgiving and, you know, I make somebody else bad and wrong until I can get to the point where it's like, okay, where am I here? So for me, I kind of have a similar theme, I guess, because, you know, I've worked with big companies too. And we have discussed before us being female in some of these big corporate environments, sometimes from our perspective, it could be that, well, you know, there's a lot of men who are getting more
paid more and promoted more
going up the corporate ladder, not necessarily women.
It's factual, even though it might not be true. But
well,
it's factual.
I agree. I think from at least my eyes, it does happen. I don't think it's horrible. I don't think it's like only men advance and women don't.
Well,
but there is a percentage, I think, that is unequal. So if I start focusing on things like that, then I get really upset. And really, you know, I'm getting screwed and here I am again. So working through the course, it has helped me go, okay, if I do believe, and I do, what the course is saying, that this is just a dream, I have to figure out why I keep creating this stuff in my experience, in my Janine lifetime, and then kind of dissect it and figure out where was I in relation to this going on, and how can I kind of rewrite the script. And this is where it gets a little tricky because we've talked before about the course says that the script is kind of already written. And the only power we have is to forgive it, to forgive what's ever going on. We tend to forgive that which we see as negative. Oh, I forgive that. But what about stuff that's positive? It's almost like my mind has been trained through many years of negative thinking to place more attention on the negativity and less attention on what's going well. In fact, at work, I don't really give a whole lot of focus at all on, wow, this person was really nice to me. That was really helpful. I really don't. So I have to work through finding that kind of balance, just saying, okay, whatever's happening to me today is just something that happens. It doesn't have meaning to it.
Right.
It is what it is. And stop making a narrative about, oh, I don't like this person, this boss, she's horrible or whatever. It's a slow go for me because I feel like my brain has been programmed for so long to think of a different way, especially when I get emotionally juiced up. That's when it takes me out of it. And that's when I go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. This is ridiculous. And, you know, I get all
heated,
you know, like, I can't believe they're doing this to me. This is ridiculous. It's sort of going through the corporate daily treadmill of emotion that I'm slowly, and let me tell you, when I say slowly, I mean really slowly, I'm taking a beat before I go into my immediate emotional burn.
That's
that
wonderful.
Energy.
I wrote down in my journal that I felt like HSJ is my barf bucket. You know, the day happens, I'm pretty wound up by the end of the day driving home, and I have this thing where I just get home, and it's like I just have to let it all go and connect and turn it over. But it really feels like my barf bucket. And that's where I'm noticing this duality of being out in the world is one experience. Of course, it's ego-driven. And then being at home when I'm in the non-work environment is when I have my own world, which is not the same world that's the outside world.
It's so weird. It's like we do have to do this trade-off. I love weekends. I love having my own time to do whatever I want. But I think the reason why weekends are so sweet is because they are contrasted by the work week. Mm-hmm. It's important for me to have the work week to enjoy the serenity of my weekends. So everything really does work together. So if I did, like, a friend of mine isn't working right now. And she was saying last week that her days are just kind of melting into one another because there's no delineation. But for us, there's a clear delineation. And I so appreciate it because Friday at quitting time just seems like a parade, an event, you know, like a holiday. Like, yay, it's quitting time. I got my weekend. It just tells you how important sort of time is in our third dimension world. Because if we're outside of time and space, we wouldn't have this. But right. I'm still within this, I don't know, dream.
Rules.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what makes the weekend so much sweeter. But I don't know if I would, until I get to a retirement situation where I have stuff going on, I would want to have that where I, you know, my days kind of melt into one another.
That would be a wonderful thing.
It would for me if I had kind of like a goal and a mission and I was actually doing something. I would hate it if I'm retired and I have nothing to do.
But it's not your personality, right?
No, it's not. But there's a part of me that truly appreciates structure that mm-hmm. a job provides me.
I just feel like there's something else that being here, living in this crazy traffic and the stressful environment where I don't get weekends because I'm on a computer and dealing with actors and work things. I'm done with this. I'm so done with this. And the fact that I don't have this savings that I can go do something else burns. Feel the burn. I'm feeling the burn.
Feeling the burn.
But in the same token, I did get my debt paid off. I do make a decent living. I'm just going to save like crazy between now and the time I get out of here. And whatever happens next. And I'm going to try and not stress out too much about it. Although I think trying to zone in on what it could be so I could take some steps to get there is a good plan, you know?
You know, thinking about what kind of job I would like or what would make us happy in mm-hmm. a work environment, that kind of thing. I was thinking about the parallels between, you know, when Jesus was in his last lifetime here as Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, what was his job really? It was kind of like traveling around and talking about God, right?
Yeah.
And he had his good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, interesting, because Gary Renard and Cindy Renard sort of have a parallel life. I mean, what they do is they go around and travel and talk about, you know, God and how we can transcend and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty cool. I mean, I can totally see they're both so good at it that they're naturals.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Gary Renard had said earlier in his kind of career that he was shy and, you know, it wasn't something that came naturally to him. But now he definitely has kind of owned it. I just think that if I had a different sort of personality in the Janine lifetime, it wouldn't be so bad going around and talking about the course, you know, to a bunch of different people.
Sure.
Around the globe.
That's that chapter I'm speaking of that I feel like there's something else that's not this LA experience.
That hasn't yet kind of manifested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we are clear we want to have a different experience while we're left here. So what is that and how can we get there?
I find the attachment to money, because we both have this in our narrative this time around. You know, it's important that we work hard and we get money so we can pay for things. But now we're both in a situation where we're sort of trapped by it, because we make pretty good money. The idea of not having, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't want to speak for you, but I had gone through what I would call some deep poverty when I was in grad school and after grad school, and I just don't want to go back there again. It was a little scarring for me.
Yeah.
So the idea of not having a decent paying job and, you know, worrying about money, I just wouldn't want to go back there again. And I think that's holding me back from having different experiences. It's like that fear of, oh no, I can't do that again.
Right.
You know, you can only eat ramen noodles so many nights in a row before you just want to kill yourself.
Or work at Speedy Gonzales.
Exactly. Nothing against that. I don't even know if it's still around.
Speedy right.
Gonzales in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Those are the days. But you know what? I mean, we've talked about this before. We all get jobs because we have to, and we just have to make ends meet.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
It's just not something that at this age I'm interested in doing again.
I feel like I don't mind working hard, but I don't want to work this hard for someone else who's not treating me as well as I'm treating them. Like, it's just not a fair exchange.
Right.
So if I'm going to work hard, I want to build something for myself and, you know, growing vegetables for a restaurant or doing events for a winery. There's so many possibilities. And that's the part that lights me up. Like, woo, what's next? I'm very excited.
It's weird. It's like the ego part of humans in this third dimension have really made money so important. Like, money's everything.
Well, you do have to pay the rent.
Sure, but
keep the lights on.
We don't necessarily need money for that. I mean, we could do it in trade or barter or whatever. I'm just saying that what a big ego kind of hit on all of us that we have allowed this money thing to be so important. It really is probably the most important in terms of being able to survive in third dimension world. I mean, some people have it and they want to make more of it. I was watching CNBC, this show called American Greed. I should stop watching it. But anyway, they, you know, talk about people who really their greed and their guilt actually kind of overwhelm them. And everything is about making more money. And unfortunately, some of that is basically defrauding or stealing it from other people. Can you imagine the guilt that you would feel coming into like the next lifetime or leaving this one and going, oh no, what did I do? I don't want to have those conversations.
That would be a hard one. I've been listening to the Afterlife of Billy Fingers audio. When he goes into heaven and he's talking about it and how there's helpers there, and his experience, I don't think would be my experience. I do think that there's something to whatever you think it is, it will be. But I did like the idea of helpers there to continue to undo the mind and to deal with the guilt and to prep us for the next lifetime. And I was talking to Mikey because I was wondering, like, I know we're taught in the course that none of that stuff is real, right?
Correct.
So I thought that somehow we can undo the mind in this lifetime through the course, so we wouldn't need any of that. But he was just reminding me that Artin and Persa said that we will either become enlightened in this lifetime or we won't. So when we're enlightened, we already have returned to heaven. We're already all one. So if it happens, then I'll know that I am returning to heaven when this Stephanie body dies. If it doesn't happen, then I'll know that I'm coming back again. So I felt like, there's my answer.
The one thing, like, I really don't want to come back again, but the one thing that makes it sort of okay for me is knowing that Gary and Cindy are coming back again, so it's okay.
Yeah.
It's really helped me a lot, actually. Good. Because I don't enjoy this at all. This is not something that I ever want to do again. But I get the fact if I'm coming back again, I feel like hopefully I've done enough work in the Janine lifetime that when I come back again, I will have a bit of a head start.
Definitely.
You know? And I also think we must have done some of this work, obviously, before the course was even around earlier in this lifetime, because, you know, we did the stuff that we did, although it was a lot of the, what is it called, spiritual buffet?
Mm-hmm.
But clearly we were searching and we knew. And, I mean, we both just knew there was something else out there, and we were lucky enough to find it. Fortunately, through the vehicle of disappearance of the universe,
mm-hmm.
it brought us back, right? So I really do think next time around, if there is a next time around, it's going to be, fingers crossed, a little easier.
Yeah. I went in to have a medical appointment, and the nurse practitioner that was helping me was, I was one of the first people in the morning. She's like, you know, I'm the first person here. Someone's sick today. There's five doctors. They all want their patients immediately. They all have 8:30s. I can only bring one person back at a time. And she's like, they're just yelling at me. And she's like, I'm up at 5 a.m. on the prayer line. And then I pray at 6 o'clock when I'm in the car coming to work. And she's like, I don't understand why everyone's always creating this extra stress. Like, why can't people just be and be loving to each other and just not feel so important that they are the ones that matter? You know, of course, you're working with doctors. They all feel important. But somehow I just started talking to her about disappearance of the universe and how, you know, our egos want us to be separated all the time. And I ended up sending her a picture of the book. She might be getting it.
Oh, that's great.
But I find myself just trying to remember that that's what the ego wants, is the separation. And sometimes I feel like the ego uses people as weapons of mass destruction. People are the problem.
That is true. Ego is the real weapon of mass destruction.
Ego uses people.
Well, but
created
ego
it.
Also is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The concept. Yes. It's not so much a thermonuclear device. It's actually the ego of the person who created it or is launching it.
Well, remember when we were in heaven and we wondered what it would be like over there, and then that's when we separated?
Yeah.
So to me, that's what if. What if I try this, or what if it's, you know, what is it like over there? And I feel like it's that same thought that spins me out sometimes, like with a problem, comparing myself or spinning out on an idea. The ego's constantly getting me spinning. Or even if it's fantasy for like something good, like what am I going to do next? Am I going to do the, you know, plant this or massage that or whatever. Like, it's that what if that was the root that is still here and continues and probably always will until we don't care what if.
Right. Which could be a long time from now.
It's infinity almost.
I want to talk a little about how we were talking about jealousy, I guess. So you had mentioned, you know, you were kind of feeling jealous about the people at work who were getting all these big things. I think jealousy plays a huge role in generally people's lives. I mean, it certainly has for me. It's taken a long time for me to beat that one down because I was starting to feel really jealous. I remember growing up as a young Janine and feeling jealous of, you know, friends of mine who came from wealthy families. For some reason, I had this money thing as a narrative this lifetime around. And I'd get really jealous, or I was jealous because that girl's prettier or whatever. And it really did take over my life. And I noticed that there are certain people in my life who feel jealousy so deeply, but don't recognize it. It sort of just takes over. You know, it's like an unconscious thing. But I do believe that there are people around, not just me or you, but jealousy is an issue that we have to address and deal with. The root of jealousy must be in that guilt, that unresolved guilt. I am jealous of you because you have that. Well, wait a minute, what's my thing? You know, is it because I'm feeling guilty that I don't realize that I am God? Like, where is that jealousy kind of rooted?
For me, it's always been not treated fairly.
Right, but what's the root of that?
Yeah, it's still separation, ultimately.
But I wonder where the guilt piece is. Is it because you feel guilty that you can't remember your atonement? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. I think that a lot of that guilt is hidden. We don't know what it is. And that's what we have to have faith that the Holy Spirit's going to help heal for us if we ask for it. So I'm constantly asking for wholeness and healing of the whole Son of God because all of our minds are just all one anyway.
Right. But I also find that when I'm around people that are not aware of the Course, and I really can't have a conversation with them about the Course, that when you step back and sort of watch how they behave and stuff, things make it a little clearer. Mm-hmm. A little clearer, not great, but I will go, oh, okay, now I get it. They're upset about something else. You're spot on, and some of this stuff is so deep. It's just all this unconscious guilt. It could be just carryover from a previous lifetime where stuff had happened between you and somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's just unresolved. And, mm-hmm. and it just sort of comes out in these bizarre ways in this lifetime.
And even just the collective guilt.
Yeah, that's true.
But at its essence, the only real guilt is back to that what if question. Right. When we separated, that's all that matters.
Not remembering that we are with God. Not remembering that we are God.
Right. We're here in bodies, so there's something that we're still guilty over because otherwise we wouldn't be in bodies. I don't know. I just feel like intellectually I get it. I know we're all one. I know that there's no guilt to have. I know we never separated. I just want the nightmare to be over.
Well, I think Gary Renard had talked before, and it may have been at some of the talks, not necessarily in the books, where he was talking about Helen and how she tried, but she just couldn't get to the finish line in the Helen lifetime. She just couldn't quite do it. So if she's back, then I hope that she's past that hurdle. And this is it. Because I feel like, just personally, I feel a huge debt of gratitude to her. Because we certainly wouldn't be having this podcast without her, frankly.
Right.
Yeah. And that tells you like how important it is that we do what we can individually to sort of get back to God. Because look at the things that you could do to help people you've never met before. These simple little things, you never know.
When I was listening to the Billy, I felt so blissful. You know, Billy Dust effect that she talks about, she's the sister who's telling the story. And I can see when I'm taking a walk in the park how people respond to me and or just buying a bagel or whatever interaction I'm having with people. I do feel like there's a blissful, loving, oneness part of me. But then I have this other part that's just, you know, the crazy train part. And it's just weird to navigate back and forth between them. But I feel like that's just what the human experience is.
I'm a big fan of country music. And Tim McGraw has a song out now. And basically it's Always Be Humble and Kind. And that is now the soundtrack of my life. I put that everywhere. I have ringtones. You call me, it'll ring that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you should send me that song.
I will. It's really sweet and good. And it helps me to remember that even though I'm encountering people who are not particularly lovely or kind or fun, or sweet. That I can always be humble and kind, no matter what. That I don't get too big for my britches and act like I'm more important than somebody else for whatever reason. Now I look back and think it's so ridiculous that I would ever think that I was more important than anybody. But I'm sure I have. As human beings, we tend to, I've talked about this before at work, that we always tend to classify or have people in a caste system, like I'm better than the rung below me. You see this a lot at work. I know in my company, because I got merged with a much bigger company, they are very much like that. They don't, if you're like two rungs above them in an org chart, then they can't speak to you. It's actually, now I see it as funny. But before I'd be really upset about that. Like, how dare you? Why are you so much more important than me? But I know it's just guilt and ego and all that kind of stuff.
And more separation, just right. Being expressed.
But I got to tell you, it does help when I'm in the company, corporate environment, and something happens. I just flip on Tim McGraw, and I'm like, okay, I got to remember that.
Beautiful.
Like, no matter what happens, it's a challenge when I'm in traffic in LA. We've talked about this before. It's very, for some reason, it's like a switch is flipped, and somebody cuts you off in traffic, and all of a sudden, you're saying all these expletives. Like, how dare you? It's like, hold on. You know, they're just trying to get home, too.
What irritates me is the different speeds everyone travels. If everyone just went the speed limit, then everything would be fine.
I tend to not get too upset with traffic. But the one thing I don't like, I've always been, I don't know, maybe it's a thing with me, but time to me is so precious. And I say this a lot. I don't like it being wasted. And when I'm in traffic, that's the part I don't like. Just having to wait to get someplace.
When it's like gridlock and everyone's just all moving snail pace.
Yeah, I'm less bothered by people who are trying to cut in front of me. I'm more bothered by the fact that I'm just not going anywhere.
I see.
And LA is just Stalk. One of those things where you have to forgive traffic every day. When I'm back home in Ohio, it's just not even a thing. What they call a traffic jam would be like an easy commute in the morning for us.
Interesting.
Just different ways of looking at things.
One thing I saw in my journal here is that if I can just keep reminding myself it's a dream, and then I'm projecting everything outward. And then I also wrote that sometimes it just makes me want to scream. My dream is a scream.
I like that, actually. I don't think I've screamed or I've kind of yelled or had my voice kind of amplified.
Oh, screaming is great therapy. Oh, my God.
I haven't cried in a long time either. One of the things that Gary has talked about many times, and I think Cindy as well, is just be a passerby. Just be a passerby. And I was a little worried that I'm doing it so well, I don't want to become apathetic. Like, I'm trying not to get too emotionally involved with stuff that I used to get really juiced about, but I also don't want to be so distanced from things to forget that there's actually emotion from other people. So I'm trying to fine-tune my be a passerby experience.
Interesting. Right. I feel like there's always something that's going to be thrown at us to hook us.
Yeah, for me, it's always trying to figure out yet another device, psychological device or behavioral device that I can use.
Or trick
to keep me in the space of the course and not let myself get spun out with third dimension crap.
That's what it all boils down to, is remembering.
And I think that's a really good way to end this one. Thank you very much, Stephanie. We will be back in a couple weeks, I think, with the Course of Course episode 49. We are inching toward 50. We should have some sort of 50th celebration.
We shall pop some champagne.
Okay, we'll do that. All right. Thank you, listeners. Have a good day.